Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us today on the program. As we begin October, we also begin Respect Life Month. Emily Leadham, who directs the Office of Marriage, Family, and Respect Life, joins us to talk about that. And I think it's a very interesting conversation. Hope you will stick around for it. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Don Wolfe with the first and second reading. Father Timothy Smith with the Gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord, "You say the Lord's way is not fair. Hear now, house of Israel. Is it my way that is unfair? Or rather, are not your ways unfair? When someone virtuous turns away from virtue to commit iniquity and dies, is it because of the iniquity he committed that he must die? But if he turns from the wickedness he has committed, he does what is right and just. He shall preserve his life, since he has turned away from all the sin that he has committed. He shall surely live, he shall not die." The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any solace in love, any participation in the Spirit, any compassion and mercy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing. Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vain or glory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but also for those of others. Have in you the same attitude that is also in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priest and the elders of the people, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' He said in reply, 'I will not.' But afterwards changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave the same order. He said in reply, 'Yes, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did his father's will?" They answered, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, Bishop Paul J. Swain recently visited and blessed Mrs. Murphy's classroom and the new kindergarten class at St. Thomas More School in Brookings. The school enrolled its first classes this school year. The staff and parish are excited about the arrival of the first kindergarten class. The new school is a response to the desire of families to provide a Catholic education for their children. You can read and see more about the school in the October edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese shortly and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, a prayer here, a share on social media there, a voice of support in a letter to the editor, even a get-to-know-others potluck. Supporting refugees and migrants can take many forms, and Pope Francis is hoping Catholics around the world will act over the next 2 years to encounter people on the move. In the United States, the church's leading organizations have developed a series of activities, including prayers that families, parishes, schools, and individuals can undertake during the Share the Journey campaign the Pope is set to open at the Vatican. Share the Journey is an initiative of Caritas Internationalis, the global network of Catholic charitable agencies. It's meant to urge Catholics to understand and get to know refugees and migrants who have fled poverty, hunger, violence, persecution, and the effects of climate change in their homeland. In addition to Pope Francis's formal announcement at his weekly general audience, key church representatives, including Cardinal Luis Antonio Tagle of Manila in the Philippines, president of Caritas Internationalis, were to conduct a media conference the same day. U.S. partners in the effort are the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and its Migration and Refugee Services, Catholic Relief Services, and Catholic Charities USA. Jenny and Joe Amschler recall the birth of their baby boy with love and awe. "I fell in love with him as soon as he was put on my chest," said Jenny. "It was an instant bond." "It was instant for Joe, too," he said. "I did the first skin to skin. I changed the first diaper. I mean, that was our baby." The fact that the couple's skin was white and their baby's was a beautiful brown was of no consequence. "I love him as my own. I didn't give birth to him, but how could you not love this little baby," she said, hugging 18-month-old Jackson as he sat on her lap during an interview this past April. "He's my son who I will love, support, and take care of his every need," Joe said. Like so many couples who had trouble conceiving, the Amschlers opened their hearts to adoption. Unlike some couples who adopt, the Amschlers know the birth mother and of her refusal to have an abortion. 5 mornings a week for the past 24 years, Martina Lopez Lima has hosted the morning show on Radio Horizontes in Humani, a tin mining city of 44,000 in western Bolivia. Lopez is a dedicated radio host who works in 3 languages in that country, including Spanish. Not only does she run the 7:30 to 10 a.m. morning show on the community radio station, she also returns in the evening for another 2-hour on-air shift, that is. In between, she attends newsworthy events around the community with her voice recorder, catching the words of the mayor or other community leaders. Along with the usual news reports, Lopez said that the morning show includes an educational segment. Mondays, the focus is on work. Tuesdays, it is on health, and so on through the week. Radio Horizontes is one project of the Center for Popular Education, an organization that has received funding from Canadian Church Organization Development and Peace. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Very good, Gene. Thanks for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Emily Leadham, who directs the Office of Marriage, Family, and Respect Life. I got my words confused there. Emily, great to have you with us.
Thanks, Jerry.
Of course, this is the beginning of the traditional month of Respect Life. And I know that you have learned a lot in these first months of taking on this task of working with these topics. It's more than an office, and I've always thought that it's just so much more than an office. You can't condense it to that. It's really it's really everything, isn't it? It's life.
Yes, it's life. Yes, I was when I started diving into my new role here at the diocese. So I've been in this for about 4 or 5 months or so, and I really just jumped right into the family aspect. I really jumped right into the marriage preparation aspect, and then this respect life piece. I kept on realizing this is part of every aspect, if you will, that I'm looking at. So it's just been a really cool thing.
Yeah, they do flow together pretty easily.
Beautifully, absolutely.
Yeah, and as you're working on one, you're dealing with the other, and vice versa, I suspect.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Especially the family life of couples that are having children, couples that are maybe they're taking care of their elderly parents, that kind of thing, and really looking at, okay, how do we do this well and make some of these life decisions, et cetera. That's all part of that Respect Life conversation. So
many directors ago, and it tells you that I've been here an awful long time, but many directors ago, the Respect Life director used to say she didn't really like having a month set aside. She preferred that we think about these things all the time. And of course, that absolutely is the right attitude, I think. And yet, to highlight something the way the month of October is meant to do is probably not a bad idea.
Absolutely. And in fact, in my own mind, I was just thinking about this the other day. I think the purpose of Respect Life Month in October is to renew our efforts, to renew our intentionality, our mind time. I will be the first to admit that you get into the chaos of life, into the craziness of life. And in the same way that we would argue, go on a retreat, take a step back, be reminded, that kind of thing. I think that that can be applied to October as Respect Life Month. Let's take a month. Let's be reminded of what it is that we are promoting, what it is that we're praying for. For me, a reminder to pray for it, for an end to abortion or for an end to assisted suicide, whatever the issue might be. I think it brings that to the forefront of our mind again so that we can continue to run the race that's before us.
I want to encourage people to read the Bishop's Bulletin this month, as I always want to encourage people to read the Bishop's Bulletin. But you wrote an article for page 12 of the Bishop's Bulletin this month talking about kind of your diving into this topic.
Yeah.
And I really want to encourage people to read that. But in case they don't, or in case they want a preview of it,
yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about what you wrote about. I was really struck by it because I think it's so true. What you discovered.
Yeah, without giving away the whole article, because we want you to read the Bishop's Bulletin.
Absolutely.
I was really reflecting, Jerry, when you kind of came to me and said, hey, would you consider writing something for the Bulletin? I really wanted to convey that Respect Life is about so much more than end to abortion. It's about so much more than assisted suicide. It's about so much more than, you know, and you could name contraceptives, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It really starts in a very simple way. And for me, the thing that came to my mind was my husband and I, we got married in April of 2016 and found out shortly after our honeymoon that we were expecting, that we were pregnant. And it wasn't our plan. You know, we were thinking, okay, we've got some time, we're going to travel and we're going to do this and this and this and this. And right away, within our first 9 months of marriage, you know, I was sick all the time and growing, you know, in some of those challenges that can come with pregnancy. And so I really started to wrestle with this in my heart of, okay, what does it actually mean to be pro-life? Because this is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, I have a sister that had an unexpected pregnancy. I have, you know, many friends that have kind of struggled with this in various capacities, whether it was out of wedlock or whether it was in the context of maybe an additional child, number five, that they just weren't expecting or whatever it might be. What does it mean to be pro-life mm-hmm. in that context? And I really had this desire, I have this desire to take the pro-life issue out of the courtroom and into the quiet room of our hearts where we can begin to recognize, struggle, wrestle with, you know, celebrate, etc., what it actually means to be pro-life. For me, there was a moment, and I write about this in the article as well, but I was walking around Target and strolled by the baby aisle, which now I spent ample time in,
yes.
You know, with my 7-month-old, and strolled by the baby aisle and something just clicked that she already existed,
mm-hmm.
that Claire, growing in my little tummy already was there. She was present and her life had purpose and that it was good simply because she was there, simply because she existed. Her life was good. And so it started kind of this catapult in my own heart of that's what it means to be pro-life, is to recognize that life is good,
mm-hmm.
even in its twists and turns and unexpected challenges and difficulties and whatever. It's not just about not having an abortion or, you know, living a life with those political views or whatever, but it starts with a deeper place. It starts with the stillness of my heart, the quiet place that sees and says, "Life is good. Life is precious."
I sometimes wonder if we ought to say instead of respect life, respect the Creator, because it seems to
yeah.
me that if we understand that we are all created
mm-hmm.
and created. Not only created, but created in the image and likeness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if we would pledge to respect that,
mm-hmm.
Maybe we would get it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
I it's kind of what I hear you saying.
Yeah, absolutely. To recognize that my life has purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody took the time to create me, the Lord. You know, the Lord participated in that. And He has a plan and a vision and a hope a desire for my life that I'm called to be fulfilled, you know, that I'm called to fulfill. I love Catherine of Siena. Be who you're created to be and you'll set the world on fire. John Paul II, in his own words, said, become who you are and you'll set the world on fire. And I often think of that as part of this whole conversation. If only we would let people be who they're created to be, yeah. If only I responded to who God created me to be,
yeah.
What would happen?
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard for us though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We live with all this artificialness in a sense in the world and mm-hmm. these images that we try to be, and we end up getting really messed up.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's somewhat of a reality too that we don't like to be uncomfortable. We don't like to be pushed outside of our norm, outside of our comfort zone, outside of our what we know.
Yeah.
We kind of avoid anything that's difficult. And I think that's not what we're created to be either. You know, we're invited to pick up our cross and to follow. And that's been the other side of this that has struck me. You know, the teenage girl that's facing an unplanned pregnancy, it's not about, it's okay, you can do it. This is going to be easy. You know, you're going to love this baby more than anything in the world. No, this is actually going to be really, really hard.
It's going to be very difficult.
And when that 2-year-old is having a tantrum and you're completely overwhelmed and et cetera, it's going to be really, really hard. But yeah. Guess what? Are you making decisions out of fear because it's going to be hard? Or are you making decisions out of hope? Hope that I'm going to give this child a chance at life.
Right.
I'm going to give this person the opportunity to pursue who they're created to be. And I think that's the paradigm that we need to start looking at. And then we as onlookers, that's the other, you know, big challenge that I see is we often get caught up in the, oh, it's going to be hard when she has a 2-year-old and she's having they're having a tantrum, instead of being a community of encouragement. You know, we begin to gossip and throw people under the bus that are maybe facing these crisis situations or whatever. And I think we need to really take a hard look at ourselves and say, okay, how am I being pro-life and helping and being an encouraging hand?
There's some really great ways if you want to be pro-life in the broad sense that we're talking about, certainly, and actually in this month's Bishop's Bulletin, referring to the Bishop's Bulletin again, Bishop Swain also talks about the Respect Life Month and the fact that, you know, he talks about a wide range of issues as well, but mm-hmm. he always says the first issue, of course, is life, because without life, the other rights aren't going to matter. The other
right.
things aren't going to matter because we won't be here to do it.
Right.
So we always start from that premise. But if we think about these broader things, there's a lot of resources in our diocese, a lot of ways that people can help, a lot of things that people can do to live out that life honoring way, the way of honoring life in every aspect.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I would say first and foremost, you know, for our listeners, check with your parish to see opportunities to get involved, not just in Respect Life things, but in your parish in general.
Right.
In Bible studies or maybe an adult formation class and maybe a family formation evening, whatever it might be, start there, a rosary group, because that's really, you know, a center of life. That's really an opportunity to come together and then to go out and to be that change in culture that we so desperately need. So I would say that's an incredible way to really live this idea of pro-life. But then the next step, you know, there's a lot of different Respect Life events that are happening throughout the diocese in October and beyond. One would be the Life Chain happening. I believe it's Sunday,
yep.
October 1st. I can never remember if it's the 1st or the 2nd.
Yep.
October 1st, lining up on 41st Street in Sioux Falls. There's a movie that's from 2 to 3, and then there's actually a movie showing just after that. I think it's something Gosnell, the world's largest history's greatest serial killer, something like that, that they're planning on showing as well. So there's opportunities like that. Those are not sponsored by the diocese. That's just really people that are out in the community wanting to be a voice of truth, be a voice of light to some of these things. And then one other thing that I would mention too is the diocese has over the past 4 or 5 years represented gone to the March for Life in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been an incredible, incredible fruit, not just because we're there in D.C., but because we come home. I've seen high school kids be set on fire. You know, high school students go back and start things within their own community. That's been outstanding and beautiful and fruitful. So that'd be another thing that I would highly recommend anybody that's able to participate with us at the end of January, come to D.C.
And I guess probably a lot of our parishes are doing even other things throughout the month of October. There's certainly plenty of opportunities to get involved. Now, I want to go back to something you mentioned, and that is the idea of prayer, particularly like rosary groups and so forth. But it seems to me that if we want to know what the Lord is asking of us in this topic or really any other, we kind of have to start there, don't we?
Oh my gosh. Amen, Jerry. I laugh at myself all the time because I so often am thinking, oh, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do this, and I'm going to solve all the world's problems.
And
the Lord, I can just picture him, you know, sitting there like, yeah. Okay, good luck, yeah. you know, let me know if you need me, yeah. Almost. And I do this all the time. And so it's dawned on me, I think, more and more in the last couple of months, especially kind of my tendency to just rely on myself rather than to rely on the Lord and what he's asking of me. And so there's been this resurgence, I think, in my heart of recognizing that, okay, if I'm going to serve him, I need to know what he's asking me to do. I really need to start with him in prayer, and learn to listen, learn how to understand what he's speaking to me, even in the scriptures, that kind of thing. It's really come alive in a beautiful way for me. So, and that's been a lot of the impetus of what he's doing in my own life and therefore what I feel as though I'm being called to do in ministry.
I think that is so true for probably all of us in again, just about every aspect of our life. And of course we want instant answers and they don't often come. It usually takes a while, at least from my experience, what happens is I'm praying for something for a while and then pretty soon I look backwards and I go, that was answered.
You did it, Lord.
That was answered.
When did that happen?
I missed it somewhere
yes,
along the way.
Yes.
It just happened, but it's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
My point with that is that we may think we know what the Lord wants us to do, but we need to give him time to shape us in a way that we're open to it. And it's so countercultural right now because everything's instantaneous and it's, you know, we have immediacy with our media and our social media and everything else and instant opinions.
Yes.
And so what we're proposing as you and I talk this morning, what we're proposing is very countercultural.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. It
but
requires
very important,
listening.
I think.
It requires taking a step back and looking at a bigger picture. And I completely agree. Countercultural, I think, is the perfect word for it.
Yeah, and maybe even take some practice. So it's maybe use this month of October to practice.
Absolutely. And I think going back to something that we kind of said at the beginning of our conversation. You know, I'm so blessed to work with incredible people in the diocese that are striving and so passionate about life. But sometimes in our conversations, we can get a little tunnel visioned and focus so much on the abortion issue, focus so much on assisted suicide or the death penalty or whatever it might be, that I want us to take a step back and look at what does it actually mean to be countercultural? It's being joyful. It's truly being joyful in the everyday, being grateful for the gift of life, being a beacon of light in the darkness. That is countercultural. And that, I think, is how we're going to shift and build a culture of life within the diocese. It begins with me. It begins at home. It begins with picking up the crosses that come into my life, the twists and turns, if you will, and being counterculture about how I respond in joy.
I think that's so consistent too with the message that every pope in my lifetime that I can think of, certainly John Paul, Benedict, and Francis, all have stressed that. You know, John Paul, you can just hear it: "Be not afraid." And I don't remember what the phrase was he used, but you know, to live with joy. He really, really encouraged us to live with joy.
Absolutely, and you saw him do that, and look at the. I mean, millions, billions of lives that were changed because of one simple man's witness of living with joy.
Yeah.
And it was a very countercultural thing. People had not seen it that way before.
Well, and it's particularly out of the circumstances from which he came, you know, living under the thumb of communism for so long, and he'd never let that oppress him.
Yeah, absolutely.
He found a way, really obviously we know through the love of Christ that he found a way through all that.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
A good model for us.
I think so,
probably
too.
Probably why he's a saint, huh?
I think so. I think so. We'll keep following him.
one of the reasons. So a couple minutes left this morning, Emily. Anything that you want to make sure that people either take away from this conversation or that they do or that they think about or whatever, not just for this month, but ongoing?
Absolutely. I think some of those concrete things, just to remind our listeners, check with your parish, see what opportunities to get involved there are. Check out our diocesan website. The USCCB also has some phenomenal resources for prayers, for activities, for things to get involved in.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because also for understanding some of these issues. In other
yes.
words, why would we be concerned about a particular issue
right.
being a life issue?
Right.
I think there's some good explanations
right.
there for
yep.
that.
There's some great teaching resources that
yep.
I think we can soak up in that regard. So yeah, I would definitely dive into those things. But then I really want to return one more time to that simple, bigger vision of what does it actually mean to be pro-life, to start looking, you know, concretely at our lives and to say, Lord, where are you inviting me today in the month of October, in the next year, in the rest of my life?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you inviting me to be pro-life? And what does that concretely mean? Maybe it's, you know, the friend whose daughter is facing an unplanned pregnancy. It's how I respond instead of, oh, that's terrible. You know what? This
yeah.
is, God's going to do big things with this.
Yeah.
He makes something out of nothing. So whatever it might be, just to ask those simple things. Maybe it's as simple as I'm going to turn off my radio in the car on the way to work, and I'm going to take that time to start praying mm-hmm. and listing maybe the five things that I'm most grateful for
mm-hmm.
that day. Some of those simple opportunities to start. Again, it starts with me. Being pro-life starts with me. It starts in my own home. It starts in my own community. So I would just encourage our listeners to look at that.
All right. Great stuff. Emily Leadham, who is the director of the Marriage, Family, and Respect Life offices, sfcatholic.org, usccb.org, two great places to start. And pretty much everything we talked about this morning, you can find some resources
yep,
on those
right
sites.
Under the Respect Life pages.
Awesome. All right. Thanks for being with us this morning at
Thanks,
Catholic
Jerry.
Views. Thanks to Emily for being with us this morning on the interview. And in addition to it being Respect Life Month and all the different activities going on with that, it's also the month of the Rosary, Gene. And in some ways, it seems to me those two things go together well.
Great opportunity to pray the Rosary every day if you want.
There's a public square Rosary that's coming up in a couple of weeks. And I know Monsignor Mangan has a lot of different places where people can pray the Rosary all around the diocese.
Which are featured in the Bishop's Bulletin.
Yeah, very good. So please pay attention to that and say your daily Rosary. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. We'll be back with you next Sunday.